Well, I hope I'm not surprised with some of the things that I've prepared to say, because some of them I wrote at about 1 a.m., so I have looked through it. But this session is on the future of NCT. Where do we go from here? How do we gain from the momentum, not only from things discussed here, but things that have got us to this point? So I've assembled a few thoughts on the direction as it gathers steam, and things that lie ahead and what need to be accomplished. And I'm not trying to be all-encompassing here, but I'm hoping this will be a catalyst for our discussion. The first item on my list is that of perception. Now, in many circles, specifically in Reformed or dispensational schools of thought, NCT has been defined in the terminology of those theologies, and specifically as error, or even worse. As one brother said, there is no greater danger to historic Reformed Christianity, and he referred to it as a rampant antinomian attack. The danger is not, however, to Reformed Christianity, which, despite the motto of Semper Reformanda, has not been reforming. The danger is to specific systems or confessions, which are, in light of New Covenant theology, in error and unfaithful to the clear teachings of Scripture. They have strayed from sola scriptura, and doing so, have strayed from solo Christo. And to quote Moe's presentation of Monday, it is those who insist on the Mosaic law and not the Spirit of Christ in us who are the ones who are the antinomians. Well, as part of correcting a perception, it's now time for New Covenant theologians and pastors to define NCT on its own terms, using its own terminology correctly. NCT writers, most recently John Riesinger in his book, Jesus, the New Lawgiver, have successfully and boldly defended their theology against criticism. But that successful defense means that it's now time to turn from polemics to a positive presentation of the theology, both systematic and practical. And more on that in a few moments. A corollary to correcting that is the characterization that NCT is somehow attempting to find a mediating position, or that it is trying to find a place between dispensational theology and the covenant theology of the Westminster or 1689 Baptist confessions. While NCT holds positions that may be in common with one or the other theologies, it's not a case of choosing some from column A and some from column B. Rather, it's the case of those theological systems having some things in common with NCT, while the rest of those systems are in error. NCT is not designed to mediate, compromise between, or find consensus among those theologies, but rather to adhere to a theology that is based on the clear teaching of Scripture, with Christ as covenant, Christ is the hermeneutic, and the Spirit of Christ indwelling in the people of God. It is, in some sense, a return to a pre-modern view of Christ before systems and confessions created a framework that distorted or obscured the lens. NCT advocates have got a lot of work ahead to transform the theology from a grassroots movement to a more widely known and understood system. Much of this work will overcome the stigma attached to it from both the dispensational and covenant circles, each of which have right up to the present time attacked it as an error or as heretical. Grassroots publications like Sound of Grace and early authors like Riesinger, Wells, and Zaspel started to put NCT on the map, while the internet has fostered growth and discussion in the movement. What is still lacking, however, are the works on the biblical, systematic, historical, and practical aspects of New Covenant theology. Much ground has already been covered, but there's quite a bit of distance left to travel. Some of that we've started to cover this week, and some of the discussions here could become an important part of that work. Well, in defining a systematic theology for NCT, there's a bit of a dilemma, and that it is a strongly biblical theology that doesn't hang on extra-biblical systems or man-made logical assumptions for it to be coherent. However, even in a less expansive form than a typical Reformed systematic theology, the NCT movement would be benefited by having one. For the purposes of this, using the outline of Wayne Grudem's systematic theology as an example, though we could use Perkoff or Hodge or whoever, we can see what such a work might look like. many sections or topics would be very similar to those sort of systematic theologies, but others are going to be in many ways drastically different. So maybe an early effort could focus just on those areas of difference. If we look at Grudem's book, chapters 2 through 8 focus on the doctrine of the Word of God. While it's unlikely that any NCT proponent would find a whole lot of difference with those views in the form of God's Word, the canon, authority, inerrancy of Scripture, clarity, necessity, or the sufficiency of Scripture, we probably would all agree with those, even if we didn't agree with specific parts of that. In general, those are a given. Similarly, even the following section on the doctrine of God the Father might not stray too differently from that. But when we get to the next sections, the doctrine of man and the doctrines of Christ and of the Holy Spirit, there will be a significant parting of the ways. Extra-biblical theological covenants, outside of any enduring or predestined purpose of grace or redemption God has, are at odds with NCT's clear belief in the biblical covenants. A serious development of NCT's teaching that the economy of the Mosaic Covenant is passed in totality, replaced by a radically different new covenant, would necessarily replace those sections. This would outline clearly that the old covenant of external laws and just a remnant of elect among a chosen nation has been replaced with the covenant of Christ, so beautifully exposited by Chad this week. The covenant of Christ with his chosen people of God and its laws that describe the nature of those indwelled by the Spirit and not an external code of conduct. Now, this decidedly Christocentric view will also require a much deeper development of NCT doctrines of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Pneumatology has been a widely ignored or at least underrepresented portion of Reformed thinking and teaching, especially in the last century. Sanctification through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not through the letter that kills, as Mo presented this week, requires us to take a more in-depth look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it also requires a more balanced look at the Trinity, which has shifted more and more toward the Father in some circles and away from Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, some NCT advocates are taking a deeper look at the doctrines of atonement and redemption. Reed Ferguson yesterday presented his intriguing initial look at some of what he described as both and tensions in Christ's atonement for sin and for the elect. Much of this discussion has been off limits among five-point Calvinists, but a direct look at Scripture with a proper hermeneutic based in Christ and the gospel does require that we look at all doctrines with a critical eye, ever striving to be faithful to Scripture. I would hope that within NCT there would always be room for scripturally faithful doctrinal exploration without fear of reprisal or ad hominem. Now, before ending his text with eschatology, an area I'm going to skip here except to say there's some room for variance in eschatological views, acknowledging that there's some that definitely don't fit the mold at all. Grudem includes a large section on ecclesiology. NCT is definitively credo-baptist, but there are other aspects of our church and body life that should be reviewed. I'll address those a little bit later when we talk about practical theology. All of this systematic theology must be based on sound biblical theology. Now, in the past century, the development of biblical theologies, which address the redemptive historical unfolding of Scripture, have been excellent tools to understand God's plan. An NCT systematic must not make the errors of anachronism or perpetuation or misreading of type and shadow that are characteristic of other systems. And on the scholastic end, the establishment of NCT seminaries and programs, such as Providence Theological Seminary, will no doubt help and add somewhat of a scholastic imprimatur to the movement. Now, in addition to scholarly works, popular NCT books are critical. Writers in our time like Sproul, MacArthur, and Piper have beautifully explained Christian doctrine in accessible terms. Volumes on living in the Spirit, Christ is Covenant, even NCT-based popular commentaries will be very valuable to churches, teachers, and saints as they seek to understand a theology that is as clear and succinct as Scripture itself. And this dovetails nicely with the next part, practical theology. From a practical theology standpoint, NCT's commitment to look at scripture and not system for its church and body life practice and its clear understanding of the role of the Spirit in sanctification and knowledge will clearly inform the life of the church and its people. Christ commands to us to love one another as he has loved us. Paul's teaching on the Spirit versus letter, and the examples and cautions toward the churches from Acts to Revelation are essential for us to understand church practice and how we are to live with each other as the body of Christ. Counseling in an NCT body, particular biblical counseling, must be informed by a proper focus on Spirit-based sanctification rather than the erroneous third use of the law. Historically, New Covenant theology as a movement only traces itself back to the latter part of the 20th century. While none of these following men are, without being anachronistic, NCT themselves, writings from the Reformation era like Calvin and Luther, later through Bunyan, Gill, Spurgeon, Lloyd-Jones, Voss, countless others, and present-day men, I won't go through any of those names, not to impugn them right now or link them in, but we know who they are.
Dead people can't sue.
That's right, dead people can't sue. They all have had teachings and writings that align with various aspects of what NCT teaches. Now, some opponents will say, hey, these are our guys, they're not yours. Just like the Roman Catholics say, hey, you can't touch the church fathers, those are our guys. There are parts of the teaching that do apply to it. And with a strong determination to be true to scripture, in reality, the origins of NCT are as old as the scriptures themselves.
Right.
Similarly, there are historic creeds and confessions which are aligned with NCT thought. The 1644-46 First London Baptist Confession, for example, has found some favor among NCT churches. These writings, teachings, and confessional documents form a direct line back to scripture and indicate that NCT, while recent as a movement, is core to Christianity from the apostles until now. A work tracing the thought and doctrine that leads to NCT is probably essential in showing that it is a theology that, at its core, is as old as the faith. So, how does NCT proceed? Well, I've just skimmed the surface here, but standing on the shoulders of those who paved the way by laying the foundation of the movement, while successfully countering critics of the theology, we must move forward in a more positive direction. We must continue to use technology to share our thinking and writing. Now, a couple of thoughts I had recently today on this. Part of it talking with Mo, the success of internet ministries and likewise information businesses really demands that much material be made available freely so that it gets distributed widely. DesiringGod.org is a huge example of that success. Likewise, in the business world, Google, nonprofit things like Wikipedia or Facebook have become viral because they're freely distributed. Now, maybe there's some other ways that some writings could be available in addition to a free download, books on demand, CDs on demand. Maybe something would have a small cost there. And it's important that there be a clearinghouse to share audio, New Covenant-based sermons and teaching, text, other resources that have been developed. And we must write more, a lot more, and more of us should be writing. We must define on our own terms the distinctives that characterize New Covenant theology and not have others define them for us. Many have started on this, and perhaps even a harmony of distinctives is now in order among those groups. But most importantly, we must put into practice in our churches and in our walk what it means to have Christ as our covenant, living as Spirit-filled people, assured of and finding joy in our future glory with him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the opening comments for this.
Excellent. Well done.
Good job, man.
Well done. Any specific areas? Any ideas at this point? Questions?
This
expansions?
Question.
Points?
You're saying we should not let them define the categories, but we should positively talk about what NCT is. And in that sense, stop being a reactionary movement.
Right.
Yet the first thing you did was go to Grudem and systematic theology.
Right. Not.
Do you recognize the disconnect there?
There is. I recognize there's a disconnect.
And then saying, okay, let's have a systematic.
I think the reason that I can do that in that case is ecclesiology, Christology, those are going to be core to any system. Maybe, I don't think those are terms that we would reinvent. But we would not acquiesce to their definition of antinomian, for instance. So that's why.
Here's something to think about. And again, this doesn't originate from me. Actually, originates first seed thought I thought, or I saw, came from Voss himself. Understanding most systematics have eschatology at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we are forward thinking,
right? Yeah.
What should drive everything that we say we do and believe?
The eschaton, fulfillment, right. Final
exactly.
Total fulfillment.
Yeah,
right.
It was his thought. And his dogmatic has never been published. It's still in Dutch.
Hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see what that looks like and whether or not he himself followed his own seed thought.
I believe you should learn Dutch.
I think there are people working on it. That's a good friend. But if we were to do that, I think we should challenge ourselves to, again, think radically about what it means to set forth what we say we believe. Now, obviously, because we live in a cultural milieu, you know, we live in a Greek and Roman culture that understands categories, so we also have to understand we have to communicate to others.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going back to Moe's idea. Moe's trying to win the world. But, and maybe we can help Moe out in that. So, you're right. We're going to have to use certain terms that we're comfortable with, and there's going to be similar terms. But even as we present it, we could present, I think, what a quote-unquote systematic theology, or in a way that looks like biblical theology, in other words.
Yeah.
You rearrange everything according to the way it unfolds in Scripture.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And you would begin with, again, not an eschatological position per se, but certainly if you begin with this seed thought that everything is moving toward the New Jerusalem, that sets the tone
right.
for everything that you're going to write. And you may not. My problem with systematics, and maybe this is, here's my own personal pet peeve, and I think this comes through in the confession. And now we've got Wassians and Clinians, even in the Presbyterian Church, I think, that are trying to change some of this.
Mm-hmm.
But because the confessions begin with the Word of God, they rightly, sola scriptura, elevate this. But what gets lost is sola Christus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my pet peeve with systematics is beginning with the Word of God rather than John 1:1. I think John 1:1 should be the starting point for any development of a system or whatever.
Hmm.
And that will flavor, that will color, that will change how we develop this category.
Sure.
That's where I'm going when I say you
yep,
recognize
no, I do recognize it. In fact, as you're saying that, maybe you have something structured on creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Maybe that's your organization. Or you can have different ways of organizing, but you're right. You gotta know where you're getting to before you start out.
Now, as you unpack these things, a lot of the doctrines and discussions are gonna have a look in the field again because of our cultural context.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that we've got some other systems that may be coming and going out of whatever we have as far as what we come up with. But I think if you do that, then you will have something that is distinctly NCT.
Mm-hmm.
People can look at that and say, that's it.
You also avoid the temptation for people to put them side by side and start doing that same kind
yeah.
of...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you will have your... I'm not going to mention any names here. You will have guys that will then take sections and try to match them up.
Right.
And then...
Yeah.
They're completely...
One thing that I failed to mention in talking about the technology is we are in an era now where free online collaborative tools abound, and so
yes.
there are a lot of opportunities for doing some stuff on a collaborative basis too, sort of like real-time ongoing peer review type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now from an outsider looking in, or just coming in, you're not an insider anymore, you're one of us. And we will hunt you down.
Behind any Russian.
Of course, now I'm making my own self-identification. Me, Mr. Modified CT.
That's right.
Would you agree? Let me ask you, I've got two prongs to this question. First of all, where would you start? And then I got a comment from somebody else I know, and I will get your reaction. But where would you start? If you look at today, what's the starting point for shifting the movement to be non-reaction?
I think that actually a big part of that was the topics discussed here this week. One part was your talk on Christ the Covenant, showing the relation from Isaiah to the New Testament, how that new covenant was prophesied, how it was manifested. That shows us how we got to where we are in the new covenant. And the second part of it that I think ties into it is what Mo presented about living in the Spirit. That talks about how we live in the new covenant as new covenant people. I think those are really the key places, establishing how the covenant came about and showing how to live in it. Those are, I think everything else hangs on that. So I think that's kind of the starting place of it. I think that you showed very clearly that if you look at the scriptures outside of a confession, look at Isaiah, look at the New Testament, try to look at it as those people who were having that revealed to them at that time would see the fulfillment of that prophecy, I think it's going to be very hard for somebody who's really honest about it and tries to put aside the preconceptions not to see that basis. I'm not going to say that it's easy for people. Any system, any presupposition is going to take a while to peel away. So I think showing the basis of it, showing from Scripture how to live in it is a place to start, and then you can kind of develop from there. So I think that's kind of the starting point.
So what you're saying is, in essence, is that a treatise on Christ as covenant needs to be written by Chad, and it can be developed into whatever else it becomes, maybe even a collaborative number of pieces that flows out of that with different segments that would be natural to it. Of course, I'm only saying that because that piece, those two pieces put together in print, I mean, if any reworking slightly is done, although you had actually done the writing out of it, even though you were speaking it, it spoke as well as it would read. I don't know how much editing would have to be done to make that a more readable rather than a spoken document and have two as a companion piece. I mean, you know, Carson and those guys do it all the time. They give their messages and someone tweaks it and they stitch it together. Now it becomes a printed book instead of a series of spoken speeches. But the material in those 2 hours worth of presentation is just so solid. I mean, you might not feel like, as of today, it's ready to go up. You might see, you might be able to expand it even more. You might change a wording or two here and there, but what I'm saying is, there's such a foundation in that already.
We shouldn't sit down.
Somebody else doesn't need to do right now. That section, you've got
right.
The groundwork for that piece done. You're the guy to get that piece done right now.
Well, okay, let's back up.
Okay.
I still think that's the
there may be something else that's going to come.
The one thing, well, but I won't take credit. Not back up, man. I gotta throw something out. Christ is covenant. Certainly, I think is a seed thought. But I think the book or whatever coming for it, I think that's the carpet for the horse.
Mm-hmm.
JGR. He was convinced, and John, if I'm misrepresenting you, you can take
session, manifesto, whatever you want to call it.
We'd develop a document. Mm-hmm. We'd have a bunch of guys that we would get together, hash it out. We'd have a constitutional convention.
Uh-huh.
Think tank.
Uh-huh.
And formally draw a line of sand.
I agree. I didn't quite go to that extent when I talked
the books,
about
then you have
the
systematic, then you have the
right.
But do that first.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm not saying I agree, you know, I'm open to that, but I still think my opinion hasn't changed in 8 years since John told me that. My opinion hasn't changed in 8 years until we have some sort of a document that we can point to like the 1689ers have.
Yeah.
Right.
We will always kind of be, we will always feel like we're in the middle, we'll always feel like this is a catch-all for whoever is a dispensational or CT. Rather than this is being something, rather than this being a place where people can go.
Right.
Yeah.
The only fear I have, and this is incumbent on the people who would use this confession, the only fear I have is that it would, for NCT people, become that 67th book of the Bible, like those confessions become for some people. So we have to be careful about that. Some of it would be in how it's created.
And part of that is the cultural context
right.
in which we live.
Right.
Well, that's true.
You know,
it's going to be
we're
tough.
Still, I'm going to say this carefully because I just got done criticizing you. You've heard your church all over the place for some of this. But we are still in our culture.
Right.
Our culture understands these types of documents and what they mean.
Yes.
Right.
Now, the abuse comes. Now, once again, you know, I see instances in the Westminster and then obviously the 1689 where there's a lot of rational thought
embedded into the flow.
Again,
yes.
This is why I think we need to follow the flow of the canon. We need to follow the trajectory of the history
right.
as we
uh-huh.
write these things.
Right.
But some are going to say the mere fact that we have a document makes us rationalistic.
Right.
There's no way out of that. I mean, we exist in a Greek culture that understands these things, and people are looking for answers.
Right.
So I think we have to give them something.
Well, then you make a good point there, too, and perhaps it's important to look at, even before that document is put together, to have a set of principles that are used, a hermeneutic for creating the document. Because that document would need to be descriptive and not rationalizing, not GNC. It needs to be, here's what the scripture says, here's a distillation of it, not here's a proof texting of it.
Now to his credit, Steve Blair, I think saw that aspect of it and
mm-hmm.
had tried to develop. Now obviously I don't agree with the hermeneutic, but he understands and understood when he wrote it that what you're saying is true as well. That there has to be some agreement on how we're actually going to arrive at that confession
mm-hmm.
in order for that confession to take place. I think that's more of an informal thing. I mean, again, that can be part of the publishing. That can be explanation why we have the confession.
Mm-hmm.
I just think we need to get some of the things into. We just need to set as an agenda and give folks like yourself assignments.
I agree.
I know.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I appreciate everything you said. That has definitely bought a number of individuals
yeah.
in the last 15 years. It's all been a frustrating process. But I think we're at the point where I think they can happen. It's absolutely necessary. And the reason I say that is because there are other NCT camps out there, at least those who assume or suppose that they are NCT, trying to define what NCT is.
Mm-hmm.
For that very reason alone, I really think we should put out a document so that we basically state and define what we're trying to do, where we're trying to go to Scripture, what we are allowing Scripture to do to us as well. But it also has to be amendable. And I think that's where the continuing dialogue is absolutely necessary. The dialogue will continue for a long, long time. It has continued already for a long time, but I'll have written and little spoken of, but nonetheless, God provided a way for him to hear these things, mm-hmm. even though we would say, we're such a small voice in a very large wilderness. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right with respect to Steve. I think Steve knew, I think this is the genius of it, he knew these things have to be defined. And I think it's commendable that he invited the dialogue. And they continue to invite the dialogue. We have to say, thank you, Steve, and thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Michael. Mm-hmm. Because we have learned something about this. We have learned to take the things which Christ has entrusted into our care to a larger audience. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to do this effectively, then we would be fools not to take advantage of the very medium. If without that medium, we would not be here.
That's right.
So, mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely.
Right, we would not be here. So I fully concur. I fully agree with this. And I really think the one who gave us this talk, even though there's implicit guilt, I really think that he stands as an example of what these truths can produce. And speak to his life, how it's already expected this thing.
One, I think one thing in the grand scope of redemptive history and timing, what makes this time as being now, pragmatically and practically speaking, is that we just had a book that was published that was right in our alley. Right, the book was of it.
Right.
So the cows come home, and that's real in person.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So what we have is a text that is a tool.
Yep.
But that tool represents something, it represents an idea that is at the core of what we're doing. And so it's no accident that has just now been published.
Mm.
And again, can be used in the process or whatever, but it's there. And I think that's one more reason why the time is now.
And since I've got the form of a microphone and recording here, I want to editorialize a little bit. Jumping off again on the idea of Christ as covenant, living in the Spirit, I think it's very important at this point to concentrate on those things that are, for lack of a better term, the cause of what happens rather than the effects. The effect, there's been a lot of time spent on the effects of, like, how is this law different than this law?
Mm-hmm.
That is the result of those things, not, you know, that's the symptom, not, and I don't want to call it a disease, but I'm saying it's the outward manifestation of it, not the inward cause of it. So the groundwork that has been laid in that discussion, you know, particularly the work that John Riesinger has done on showing that the Mosaic Law is a unit. It's done. The believers, that law is descriptive of them, not code of ethics upon them. That work, really, John has accomplished what needs to have been accomplished there. And by doing that, he really has freed everyone from having to continue to fight that battle and move on to these other things we've talked about. I mean, that really is a culmination of a phase of the movement that allows the next phases to happen. And so, you know, we really do remain very indebted to that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from Steve.
I say humorously, it sounds like we need the first wiki confessional. Using the medium.
Why not?
Modifiable.
Absolutely.
No, I think...
Do you know how to write it?
No, but I'm sure I can figure it out for you.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead. There's a wiki software that we wanted to
put both. I kind of say that humorously, but in terms of the medium being a critical piece, and it does sort of lend... a document like that, it lends a different flavor to it that isn't an imprimatur. Here's the addendum you need to stick in the back of your Bible because it's the next book, kind of concept. So I say that humorously, but I really think there's some contextual ideas.
There's already something with the guys that have been covered up, probably would be excused.
I think the thought of separa reprimanda has to be inherently part of the document, even if it is a bullet point, an addendum or whatever. The whole idea of it being amendable. One of the problems that I see with 1689 and is the fact that there are those that treat it as if it's the final revelation.
That's right. It's done. Historically, period, finished.
As great as those documents are, and as much as I have, they've played a huge role in my own life, my own personal journey, and still do. I can't go there. They're not static. We cannot say that anything that we create, and again, I say we create anything. Any words that we put on paper, even as it's our interpretation of Scripture, we cannot say it's static.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot be afraid of making changes in stuff just because it's been around for a while. The Reformation corrected 15 centuries of error. We believe, as Credo Baptists, that Presbyterians have been in error for centuries. Longevity doesn't make it unchangeable.
And Revelation, doesn't change. This does not change. But the illumination of the Spirit working on behalf of an over-shepherd who is overseeing redemptive history is still working.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think we lose sight. The thing that really bothers me about a static understanding of those documents is we don't give enough credit to Christ and the Spirit to work in redemptive history to bring a bigger, better, broader understanding of what's going on in the Scripture.
Absolutely.
I expect us to understand the Scriptures better than, and that's not to say that we should sit here and have some sort of an arrogant perspective on history as if we could better own. I certainly, we may have some minds out there that are like Owen and Edwards, but those guys may just be the brightest minds we have seen since the time of Christ. I don't know that. But it doesn't denigrate the fact that they were brilliant people, had much to offer, certainly shaped and formed our thinking of the Scriptures to suggest that they themselves appeared where they did in history through Christ working in redemptive history even since the ending of this revelation.
Right.
He still gifts he gifts the church with people through the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we understand that is still taking place, and that any document of our interpretation has to include this idea of semper reformanda because it is Christological, and because we understand Christ still works in redemptive history, I think that solidifies or highlights how Christological and Christocentric our understanding of the Scriptures is.
Absolutely. I mean, God preserved the Scriptures through the errant Catholic Church. He gave us Martin Luther in the 16th century to correct error. Did that stuff stop in the 16th century? He's given us Spurgeon. He's given us Beale and Carson. He's given us Piper. He's given us Owen. He's given us Bunyan. To think that good work, good theological work, theological understanding, illumination by the Holy Spirit of people in our age doesn't happen is really an insult to Christ. It's to say his work stopped.
So when people say, and we're going to get this, is NCT something brand new? And certainly when I look at errors, one of the things I want to throw out there is you have to watch when errors come around. Are they presenting something brand new? If we check out that guy, because there's a good chance that what we have is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Uh-huh.
When you're presenting things to the brand new, and charges has been and will be, New Covenant theology, this is brand new. I think we do ourselves a disservice if we. I haven't heard this in this group. Sometimes I tend to hear it, but some. We better not jettison the Owens, the Edwards, the Bunyans,
that's right.
The Spurgeons, all the shoulders on which we build.
They've got pieces to the puzzle generationally.
We place ourselves in line with them and understand ourselves to be in development of them.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So that our differences with them are also part of an agreement with them. In other words, we aren't distancing ourselves from them even as we develop or write down what we understand to be true in development from them,
mm-hmm.
interpretation of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So we must continually stick ourselves in that line.
Absolutely. I like what you said about the pre-modern, right? I sort of pointed it this way here. Taking a pre-modern movement into the future.
Well,
yeah.
The emerging
yeah.
church says that, though.
Do they really?
Ancient future faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what they're calling ancient is
yeah.
practice, not doctrine. I mean, they're making their
mystical,
the mystical stuff. Yeah.
One of the things that John Piper has done well is basically determining stages, the use of a phrase, and to continue to placard it before his folk and for the larger community that it's listening in, and that has been really used. Very effectively. And it would be nice to be able to say, this is our objective, because that was his objective.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, you know, surpassing.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be nice to be able to coin a phrase that somehow would be a moniker or something.
Could be done.
That we are seeking the life of God by his people, for his glory, and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be going to like a preamble type of a statement like that.
I would say, as far as the development of the system, I don't think I'm that ballpark, personally. As far as I want to see it done, I don't think I have the capacity. But I certainly think the Southern City Runs table perhaps has the tools necessary to at least do the built up or beefed up outline. And hopefully
yeah.
kind enough to present it to us and say, what do you think? Now,
you know, also in light of this, is thinking about that document, possibly something that could be a part of it, maybe an appendix. Has anybody heard what John was working on for the Bunyan Conference that did not go down this year? And he was going to do his presentation on a history of New Covenant theology. I don't think, in the couple of discussions I had with him about it, because I was trying to nail him on that look, once the conference wasn't going to go on, that I wanted to get that on video, his talk on video at least, so we'd have it. I don't know if he's just talking in the more contemporary sense or if he's going back to like his own discoveries, a snippet from Bunyan here, a snippet from Owen here, and tracing some of the pieces of the puzzle up to the present day. When we begin to see this, seeing that this isn't something that's brand new, it's been around since, and now it's come to a place where it's taking a fuller life on its own, and then if it was going to be a true presentation on history like anything else, where's the history going? Has anybody had any insight from John on that? I'm going to ask him again then, right after.
I know he did say something, but I forget exactly what the
all I know is
that
he burned my email.
I'll ask John, I'm going to ask you again about that, and if you did develop that, and what was in the context of that, because it would be very helpful for what we'd like to see done. Because I think that would be an important aspect of that there for exactly the reason that you're saying it.
Well,
and to show, now here's the place where what we're writing in this document, we feel the time is right for it to flow out of the history of New Covenant theology.
Here's the other subtle thought of doing it that would help accomplish that same purposes. And rather than, and I've heard some talk about doing this, and I'm not in favor of doing this, using the 1646 as a template,
uh-huh.
or maybe not even as a template, because again, I think there's some, the way those things are arranged tends to be kind of rationalist.
Right. Agreed.
Everybody around this table could have signed it.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most churches that are a little more openly waving a flag, and let's say you want to join an organization like FIRE, and they demand for individual or church membership that you be affiliated with at least one of four Baptist historical confessions, and they accept the 1644-46 just for those very same reasons, because it gives some kind of an overview. I think that's a very good idea. Template may not be the right word, but it's got enough of what we want, repaginating it, resetting the priority of the flow of it, and using some of that. And like even for our church, even though, you know, we took, as we wrote, we came to you guys, we took some stuff. We took some stuff from the New Covenant Confession of Faith from Jeff and Steve. We put some of our own stuff in there and made that. But we still have a disclaimer. Well, it's not a disclaimer. We still have a statement on our website for our church that for a historical document, we do choose the 1646 London Confession of Faith as a historic confession with which we can, as present-day New Covenant Baptists, identify with, because there are some people who do look for that, especially if they're quote-unquote Reformed Baptists, have come maybe out of a 1689 church, and they want something that still has some kind of a historical identification with a document like that. And so I think you're absolutely right there, and it can be used.
The document could at least identify itself.
Yeah,
where it's building.
It sure does.
As a starting.
Well, then you publish a book that goes through each paragraph of the 1646 and talk about how insecure it is, and drop the 1689ers nuts.
I wouldn't be familiar with Lulu.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Lulu.com.
Instant publishing.
Yeah.
Printing on demand. Or paper
love.
Or copy paper.
Yeah. I think that as much as possible, these should be, at this stage of the game, freely available materials.
Yep.
You know, as it's within the means of people and time and so forth. But making it available in a printed form and without having to have the expense of a print run is something like Google.
That's right.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's certainly cheaper for people than running their own photocopies.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, after that, then we could have a book of church order, and we could have an NCT denomination. What do you say?
Moabites.
We're going to assign Steve the job of creating the church liturgical.
Oh, there we go. The NCT liturgical calendar. Right.
Let's see. How many ways to break the Sabbath?
Well, I think we've hit a really good point here. And I think where we can go from beyond this now, I think it's a good point for us to break for the day. Everybody needs a little kickback time. We have a nice finalized intense session tonight with a fourth segment on the Holy Spirit from Mo to wrap us up. But we're all connected. We're connected with others on a very regular basis. We have the forum. We have what we've recorded here. We have these couple of basic steps that we know we can trajectory with and move forward. From this point on, as we sit around the rest of the day today, maybe think some things. We have one final discussion maybe tomorrow morning before we leave, which would be interesting with the other guys that will come here for our monthly meeting. For those of you that don't have to leave first thing in the morning, a little bit of what we discussed right here would be of much interest to them. And a value to them to hear even a little bit about this idea. You know, you might leave that with me, and we might pick it apart a little bit or see. Because we don't have a planned agenda for tomorrow. We were kind of incorporating them into whatever we might or might not do. Or if one of the guys has questions like the way we normally handle it, we have a great discussion time. But anyway, if we know that we're going to approach the document, the idea of the template, thinking that through, working that out, maybe a few of us volunteering to take that and reprioritizing that document to kind of get more of the flow of what we've taught from an eschaton viewpoint.
Let me just add a comment.
Go ahead.
On my heart. I think one of the things that the document itself needs to do and start out with is sort of address how we don't intend it to be. Given the nature of how historical confessions have been used. I think it's fair in the document to, for it to lay
to
out.
Identify itself.
Yeah.
To self-identify itself.
Right.
Self-identifier.
Right.
This is not, I think you should start off with a positive statement.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't want to say, this is not because all of a sudden the reaction.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right.
We want to get out of that whole mode. Right.
Yeah.
It may.
Sure.
But not with an intent of ours.
That's right.
And actually, and if that's written down, it means to unite the body of Christ in what now?
Right.
Exactly.
If it's there, then it's harder for people to argue.
That's right.
It
does all the time.
It's
going to
be
that.
Right. But here's the advantage that we have. I mean, we don't even have to do this back and forth through email. As we're all connecting with enough. With one enough, yeah, connected weekly or every couple of weeks with one another, others a little more frequently. We have the online collaborative tools that are already there. So someone,
to get there every Saturday,
you know,
you're available, come on.
If as this begins to progress, we think through now how we want to take the first steps to getting this, some of these things actually down on paper. There's the online collaborative tools, like I told you, even a little while ago. Mo and I were working on Writely. Through Google, at the same time we were Skyping, writing, editing on the spot, talking about it as we were writing it, putting it together. We didn't have to travel and meet in a session like this. We worked for an hour on that little piece and boom, it was done. We can use the technology here. Again, the meetings obviously we still need to have for all the various reasons, but as the steps toward the next meeting, as we decide to do these things, if someone's given an assignment, they can do it, put it up there on there. Then around that assignment, we can say, now let's have a come-together time and spend an hour on Joe's assignment, and let's all now put the input onto it. You get flagged. You get the notification when someone's posted. You can go at your own time and look at it first.
Okay,
you
Joe,
can make your comments in blue.
Fine, you're convincing me Google is of the Lord.
Is that what I've just done? Did you have a problem with that thing with Google? I didn't know that. But anyway. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. We'll use it for the glory of God. But anyway, that's just throwing it out.
What
but, I mean,
about your Josh for assignment next year?
Well, no, let's back up. Yeah, next year.
Yeah. Yep.
Even as we think weekly, though.
Yeah.
And even as Steve volunteers to do this project.
sounds like a passive.
I think we have to be careful. And again, this is sound. Probably John Riesinger's influence on it. We should have some sort of closing date or some sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than looking at it as an open source.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rather than it always, you know, it might be, you know, certainly a separate Semper Reformanda, certainly it's wiki. But until we have something that is identifiable, I would even say, we hold a conference around it,
right?
And have some sort of, you know, celebration or whatever.
Yeah.
Over it.
Yeah.
In other words, have a closing date so that we have something that is, and I'm going to use this rationalistic term, definable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're doomed. If we don't have that, we're doomed to constantly feel like we're in this state of flux.
Right.
We're in the state of non-completion. We're in the state of not knowing who we are. We have to set a vision and then have a vision that has some sort of closure and completion to it.
Okay. Absolutely.
So that's my caution, even as we think about wiki. So as we proceed forward,
right,
let's make sure, though, that we have an intended goal, have an intended target, and we know that there is a completion to it.
Well, let's just think about that even over the next couple of weeks as we may talk, and each week get a consensus. Do we feel we have a sense of, in the basic, how long it may take us, and let's set a projected date and work toward that date and that goal of that date. If we don't reach it at that time, that's fine. Then we can expand that date. But let's make it a reasonable and an establishable goal and see and
well,
start working
idea.
Toward it.
Can it be,
start working.
Can it be attacked in sections? So that
of course.
The first target might be a date for the outline.
Exactly.
And
piece by piece.
Maybe at that stage it's a little too early to publish, but somewhere along the way you could even start publishing the pieces that are done thus far, so that I don't know what the timeline is, but maybe this year there's a certain section, foundational section done, mm-hmm. and it's published, mm-hmm. with the understanding built into it that more is coming.
The working document.
It gives it a flavor of a working document without
right.
without that, you know, okay,
right.
in
right.
2010,
right. Right.
these 10 people, you know.
Right, right.
It shows itself to have been a working document and lends itself to adjustment over time.
Amen. Well, let's close the session then officially, and we've got time to think through a little bit of this a little bit more. And the folks out there that are listening in at least know what's being proposed at this point, and maybe there'll be others who will have some significant input that will help our thinking through on this final point. Ed, would you close us in prayer?
Father, we thank you that you've given us this time to be together, mm-hmm. to look at your word, and that you've given us the Holy Spirit to illuminate us in that word. We thank you for all the people who've come before us, whose shoulders we stand on, as we continue to see the unfolding
yes.
revelation of history, as we move toward that final goal, that time when we stand in your glory, and may it be soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.